Welcome to the Michigan District of the LCMS Innovative Missional Ministries Podcast. Today we'll hear from Steve Goss, who's talking about Project 812.
But it's kind of interesting being the last one on the docket as well, following all these brothers and sisters, because they are on the front line of doing all this type of ministry. So it's kind of humbling for me as well, because what we're trying to do with Project 812 is actually get further upriver, to prevent people from getting to poverty level, to getting to crisis intervention that needs to happen. How can we do that and do it in an innovative way? So I'm going to kind of shift ahead here a little bit. Actually, I'll go back first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right?
Thank you very much.
No problem. So the mission of Project 812 is to help families and individuals. Originally, we were thinking just Macomb County, but we're looking at Macomb and Oakland County now, reach their God-given potential socially, economically, and spiritually. And the 812, where that comes from, is Zechariah 12. So in Zechariah 8, he has the vision of what this rebirth and rebuilding of Jerusalem would look like. And 12 specifically uses these agricultural terms where it says, "For there shall be a sowing of peace, the vine shall give its fruit, and the ground will give its produce, and the heaven will give its due, and I will cause all of this to be for the remnants of these people." So when we're thinking about a community of this South Oakland, South Warren area that's just outside of the edge of Detroit, that is starting to experience some of the blight and the poverty stricken that's coming into them, how can we cultivate that community now to try to head it off? And that's the goal of what we're trying to accomplish with Project 812. So now, hold on, Pastor Jim, I'm going to skip ahead here. So what we took a look at was my team and I, we said, okay, what are the pillars that create stability for families? What are those pillars that build that? So I know it's kind of hard to read, so I'll read them off to you. The first pillar is they need to have access to gainful employment. If they can't earn a livable wage, they can't provide for their family. And if they can't provide for their family, they're going to fall into hard times. So the first access is, how do we get them gainful employment? The second one is, when they have children, how can they afford childcare? How can it be affordable? Childcare is crazy with how expensive it can be, especially if you have dual income working parents. So how can we find a way to make childcare accessible and affordable for families? And then the third pillar is, how can we find affordable home ownership? We have affordable housing options, but we all know that when that home ownership model gets built into that, that just builds up the value of the family. It builds up pride. But all three of those pillars are built upon one solid foundation that we all know is in Christ. But more importantly, it's in a supportive, loving, Christian faith family. So being connected into a church that they can have the support systems that they need when they fall into hard times, whatever it may be. So all of that milled together, it provides that stability that families need for being able to be successful. So what we did was, is we go back to what was the calling? So initially when Pastor Casper approached me about doing this type of ministry in Macomb County, we took a look at some of the demographics data and just kind of drilled down into it. So first off, in these areas there, they're the working poor. They're not in poverty. They're just outside of poverty level, which means there's no government assistance programs. So when it comes to finding employment, they don't have assistance when it comes to that. When it comes to affording childcare, they can't get access to it because they're outside of that. They make too much money, but they don't make enough money to get ahead. And usually how it works is that it's the average household income there is $52,000, but that's for the entire household. So really they're only making about $25,000 each, and it's usually by multiple jobs. They usually carry 2 to 3 jobs. It's a very proud demographic as well. They don't want to ask for help, and they don't seek out free assistant type of programs. They have a lot of pride. So how do we work within an environment like that? And they're going to struggle to make it because of that pride. And then there's the educational gap. So in northern Oakland and northern Macomb counties where it's very affluent, usually that's because there's a high population of individuals that have bachelor's degree or higher, college education or higher. The demographics that we were looking at, Less than 15% of them have any type of college experience. They do have high school diplomas, they do have their GEDs, but they don't have that college experience. They may have some college, but they do not have a degree. So the average age as well in that demographic is 41, which is quite interesting because usually the household makeup and the family makeup there is not necessarily married couples. It's usually single parents, but it's also multi-generational households. So usually it's a single mom with two kids at home is the demographic that, or the model that we built. Usually it's a single mom with two kids at home and she has her mom or her father that's living with her that helps provide some sort of income. Maybe it's mom and dad's house, whatever it may be, but that's the makeup that's there. There's a strong, very strong desire on the individual level to broaden their horizons, but even more of a strong desire that they can have the pursuit of personal growth. So they're gonna be fighters, but they've got that pride that's there and they want to work forward to it. They just need a hand up. So they're just seeking that stability. They want the stability socially. They want so they can not work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. They can have time with their kids. They can have time with friends. They want that stability economically, which they can't afford unless they do work two or three jobs. And they want that stability spiritually, maybe, maybe not. So we took a look as well in diving into the demographics there of saying, well, what's going to happen with some of our churches? Are any of our churches here, are you growing in membership? Generally not, right? Our congregations are not growing in membership. So why is that? The demographics that we looked at, we dove deep into what were the challenges why people were not involved with their churches or why they were leaving their churches. And Tyler said it earlier here today, and it's been spread throughout every single ministry that's out there. The most crucial and important thing about ministry is relationships. And it's authentic relationships. And we see that through Jesus' leadership. When he had that conversation with the woman at the well, why did she go back and what did she tell people back when she went back to the community? He knows me. It wasn't just because he was having a conversation with her, but it's because he authentically knew her. He took the time and got to know her. And that's the challenge that our culture is looking for, is our churches, we need to know the people that we're ministering to and know them on an intimate relationship, loving on them and caring for them where they're at level. So that's where the pillows are at. So you probably can't see this picture. I love satire and I'm a Gen Xer, so I can use this satire. But in this picture, it's a group of Gen Xer cartoons that are surrounded the millennials and the baby boomers that are in the middle fighting. So the satire that I like about that is that the reality is our culture, we fight. We fight amongst our generations, but yet our generations are actual cultural differences there. There's a lot that can be learned. Our baby boomers can learn a lot from our millennials, and our millennials can learn a lot from our baby boomers. And that happens not only just in our cultures, but even more importantly, inside of our church. And I think it has a broader impact when we're trying to do outreach as well. So how can we assimilate our culture, especially in our communities that we're working with? You know, here at Camp Restore or at Charity or Family of God or even with what Brad's doing up in Flint as well. And Brad Garrison down here as well with Luke 5:2. It's all about going into the culture and just serving them where they're at. We can do that in Warren and it's a little bit easier because, again, we're further upstream. But we need to know, we got to meet them where they're at. We need to love them for who they are. We need to provide them with what they need, and we need to seek to understand the culture. When we first started this this venture that we were doing, we had our own preconceived notions of what we could do. Our thought, first off, was, okay, you know, the ideal mom that we're going to be, the ideal person we're going to be serving is a single mom, and she's going to need affordable childcare. And that's what we're going to build and that's what we're going to do. Well, instead of just using the demographic data that we had, we figured, you know what, we need to go deeper into the community and do some actual market testing and see if that's really what the case is. So we canvassed neighborhoods. We use social media platforms to leverage out different surveys. We worked with some of the faith communities in Warren as well. And we got over 120 some odd responses back from our assessments that we did. And lo and behold, every single one of those assessments said, yes, affordable child care would be nice, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is we need to get gainful employment. We need skill set to be able to get a job, to make better money, so that we can spend time with our kids or we can afford childcare, whatever it may be. So we quickly changed gears and changed direction, because it's not, again, about us imposing what our thoughts are. It's about really understanding the community that we're trying to serve, the culture we want to be in, and go from there. So our response, we shift focus. So we're looking at collaborative community operations that we're going to be doing. Working with and partnering with our faith communities across the area. So we don't want to have it isolated just in one church. We want to make sure that we're out there working with other churches, all churches, to be able to help build their basis and help make an impact into their community. We've worked with some colleges. We've got some great connections both at the local level and also at Concordia as well, making connections with them in regards to the family life programs that they've got. Rochester University, actually, they have a program for social entrepreneurship that they've already offered up interns to come on out and work with us to help develop some of these relationships. Businesses, trying to find ways to partner with Christian businesses that are out there. One of the biggest challenges that businesses face, especially in this booming economic time, is the staggering cost of employee turnover. So for the average employee that makes roughly about $45,000 a year, the cost to the organization if that employee turns over is $15,000. So that takes away from the ability of how they can hire new people and continue to put individuals in back into the workforce. So how can we help businesses on the same level be able to improve what they're doing and impact their community as well? So we have already some relationships we've built with some business owners that are wanting to engage on this. And then obviously volunteers. How can we engage with volunteers to help make this type of program move forward? So quickly, moving into ask. So since we are still in our infancy of development here, we are still going through the process of, you know, really nailing down what is going to be our product offering. I think we're probably going to be going the same kind of lines as like what Pastor Bodley's doing with employment type of training events. Another option we're looking at is how can we offer up a child care service that can work in collaboration with that. So if we're offering classes for mom and dad in the evening, how can we provide child care for them so they don't have to worry about getting a babysitter? There's lots of different avenues of what we're looking at, but that's kind of where we're directed at right now. So obviously we need your prayers, is important. We need to build connections. So we want to get out and talk to different churches. I thought Brad Garrison, you had a great idea there of how can we have a way that we can get out in our broader Michigan district community and share these types of ministries that are going on and just help raise the awareness about all of us as a collective whole. That's something important that we want to make sure that we can see happen as well. Volunteers, when we do start to launch with our ministry, we know we're going to need volunteers. So starting to build up some volunteer basis for that and connections in with individuals. And then obviously financial donors. As with every single ministry here, it's important to know that we can have not only ministries launch properly, but how can they be sustainable for future growth? We know that our churches can't necessarily do that. God can do it, and God's going to provide the resources that are there. But I firmly believe that that comes through the generous donation of our donors that we have throughout the Michigan district and the greater level. So with that, I'm not going to take any questions, but you can come see me. Oh, our website is project812.org, project812.org. Thank you.